Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday, November the 3rd, 2023. 11:03:23, 15 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan. Sean Kraft is out sick tonight. And Carrington Nelson is at a concert. They both will be back next week, and they both will be a part of our election coverage starting on Tuesday at 7:15 p.m. You won't want to miss this for love nor money. It is going to be something to behold here on WGH. Now, Matt, I've been doing the plugs. Let's see how well you've been paying attention. Tell people about election night here at WGH.
So on election night, we're going to have a whole team working at it. There's going to be Scott. Oh, man, there's going to be Scott. There's going to be Carrington. There's going to be Glenn Coble in the studio. There will be Pastor Craig down at Republican headquarters. Linda Sims will be down at Democratic headquarters. Carrington is going to be keeping up on the state races. I will be down at the Board of Elections. We will have call-ins from Bill Collins and maybe a few other people. It'll be full of
Sean and Terry will be here.
Yeah. Oh, Sean and Terry. Yep. I knew I was forgetting somebody.
Mary Ellen. I believe. I'll talk to her more about it tomorrow night. But
nice.
Yeah, dinner with the presidents tomorrow night. Are you going to come stand in the parking lot at 4:30 and get pictures of us all coming in? I know you got your haunted, whatever that thing is, tomorrow night.
It's a Halloween party, but, you know, it'll go for, like, ever.
Well, you know, I'm just saying at 4:30, you don't have to stay for the whole thing if they won't let you in. But you come down at 4:30 and you snap pictures of us coming in, you know, me and Mary Ellen and Pastor Craig and his people. I don't know who he's bringing. I don't know what that's all about.
Is he bringing?
Well, he might be. I'm sure he has somebody. I'm sure he's not going to sit alone.
Well,
maybe he will. I don't know. Some people like to be alone. Glenn. Good picture of Glenn. A lot of station people. I think Harding. There's a lot of people to take pictures of down there.
Get a whole group picture.
Now, you'd have to get there early, though. You'd probably want to get there by, like, 4. Because people will probably start arriving at that point. If you want. I don't know what you're doing at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
I don't know what I'm doing at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Just drive on down to Waldo. 10 minutes. Just write down 423. You ever been to All Occasions?
I don't think so, no.
Nice place.
I mean, it sounds like a nice place. It's called All Occasions.
Oh, now, Pastor Craig's talking about his exclusive interview. Now, Pastor Craig, what is your exclusive interview? Is it with Mary Ellen? Is it with President Harding? Is it with James Buchanan? Colonel Edmund Starling. Oh, okay. Well, I know Colonel Edmund Starling, too, come to think of it.
I do not.
I don't want to give his... Because he's dead, so he's being portrayed by somebody. So I don't want to give away his identity, I guess, at this point. Oh, speaking of President Harding, I said I was going to tell a story about President Harding and Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently, I think it was his second Christmas at the White House. He was only there for two before he died. He wanted to go back to Ohio, Marion. I don't know if it was Marion, but he wanted to come back to Ohio for Christmas. And Florence got sick with her kidney ailment. So he couldn't come back to Ohio for Christmas, so he sent his sister a card. And the card had a very nice letter in it and all this. But what we've learned over the years is that he put $250 in that card to give to his mistress. to buy some kind of ruby-studded necklace or something. So President Harding was always working it, even at Christmas time. Now think, $250 in 1921 would have been a lot of dough.
I think that's still...
Do the calculation on that. $250 in 1921. What is that in today's money? 1921. No, it would have been 1922, I think this would have been. 1922, how much was $250 in today's money? Got to account for inflation and all this.
1922. There's only one for 23.
Okay, $250 in 1923 would be how much today?
Well, I found it for $1, so... $4,397.50.
Yep. So almost $4,500 he sent his mistress on Christmas. That'd be like today if Joe Biden had a mistress sending her $4,500 for Christmas.
That's a lot of money.
President Harding was a big spender.
Yeah, that's a lot more money than I thought it was going to be, actually. I'm not going to lie.
Not me.
$1 in 1923 was $17.59 of today.
Well, you got to think about the fact that, just go back to the 40s, which is 20 years after that. I mean, you could still buy a loaf of bread for a nickel in the 40s. So, you have to figure, go back to the 20s, what they were charging for things.
Fair enough.
So think about that. You think about $250, and wow, he was sending her some money. He really was sending her $4,000. I wonder if Florence missed that out of the old checking account.
Do you think she didn't know? I think she had to have at least some concept of what was going on.
Well, you know what? This is interesting. Pastor Craig says the White House Secret Service agent was a Secret Service agent for Wilson, Harding, Coolidge, Hoover, and Roosevelt. Well, guess what? Find out if he knew that Harding was sending his mistress Christmas gifts.
I think he did.
Florence knew and just stayed along? What do you think? Well, wait, here's the ones we know had affairs. Let's run down the list here. Starting with Harding, we know had affairs. Coolidge, I don't think we know if he did or not. Hoover, I don't think we know. Roosevelt definitely had affairs. Truman, we don't know about him. Eisenhower, we know had affairs. Kennedy, we know had affairs. Johnson, we know had affairs. Nixon, don't really know. Ford, don't really know. Carter, don't really know. Reagan, don't really know. Bush, one, don't really know. Clinton definitely had affairs. Let's see here. Who do we have after Clinton? Oh, we have Bush 2, don't really know. Obama, don't really know. Trump had some affairs. I don't know if they were in the White House, though. But so we got quite a stretch there where a lot of them have had affairs. Yeah. We got a good stretch there with Eisenhower, Kennedy, and Johnson.
That's always good.
They had a little side piece.
You know, why do you think that is? Why do you think they felt the need?
Because I think when they married these women, they thought they were the one. And for a long time, you couldn't get a divorce. There was the theory that you could not be divorced and become president. That was like a black eye. So they stayed with these women, and the women stayed because they got to be first lady, and it was a big deal. But, you know, they didn't really have any interest in each other anymore.
I mean, fair enough.
Don't you ever lose interest in people?
Oh, yeah.
But think if you were stuck with them, because everybody knew that you were together, and you're, you know, in front of everybody, and I don't think a president could get divorced in office.
Why not?
Because people would say, "What's it's a character flaw, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, you're already in office. Worst they can do is not reelect you.
Yeah, but you don't think you want to give them a reason to do that.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a very good reason.
Well, I think it's fascinating. Reagan was the first president who was ever divorced, and he had to be remarried for us to elect him.
Well, why did he have to be remarried?
You know what's interesting? The president that Glenn is portraying, James Buchanan, the thing about him, the biggest thing we know about him, is that people thought he was gay.
I did not know this.
So this is an interesting president that Glenn's portraying.
Well, is there, like, evidence?
I don't think back in those days there were... He was the 15th president, so this is back in the 19th century.
So how did this whole thing... How did the whole, like, story get started then?
I think he was a bachelor.
Oh.
You know. But that wasn't a thing back then. Everybody was married. Everybody was married and having kids. That's what you did to pass by the time. There was no internet in those days. People do that now. People don't They feel like they have to have kids. They feel like they have to procreate. That's why they were put here.
I mean, I would disagree, but I mean, I guess there probably are people who feel that way, but I don't think that's right.
I'm telling you, we've had this conversation many times. Other people's happiness is dependent on other people. And that's a problem.
I was going to say, that's not very healthy.
No, it's not healthy, but people continue that circle all their life. I was having a conversation the other day with somebody about when you have a trauma in your life, you do not get over it. Now, you might get around it to where you don't think about it all the time, but you never truly get over it. It haunts you all your life. That's why it's a trauma.
Is it really that bad, though?
Uh-oh. Pastor Craig says, people think Glenn is gay. I don't know if people think Glenn is gay, but people think James Buchanan's gay. You can ask him, though, tomorrow, Pastor Craig. That'd be a good question. Go up to Glenn and say, are you gay? Now, listen, though, but that's, you know, do you have a problem with what I was saying there?
No. Which part?
The last part.
About what?
People's happiness is dependent on other people, and traumas, you do not really get over them.
I mean, I think you can get over traumas.
I don't think you can. I think it's always there. I think if something, and I'm talking trauma. I'm not talking something like stub your toe or break your ankle or something like that. I'm talking about traumas in your life. I don't think you get over them.
I mean, if you can't, so you just live with them?
I think you do, but I think they kind of ruin your life in a way and kind of mar it. Because I think it gives people, I think that's why, you know, the number one drug in the United States, I believe this is true, is antidepressants. And I think one of the reasons for that is because people are traumatized. And they feel the need, as time goes on, to do something about that. Or they go the route where they're traumatized and they don't take the antidepressants. And that's even more traumatizing because they never fix the problem.
Depression is interesting to me because third world countries have like astoundingly low rates of depression, and depression in wealthier people is higher than depression in working class people.
Well, I think it's because people don't understand depression. I mean, I've interviewed a lot of people with it, and I think it's named badly. Because it's not you're depressed about something. So just because you have money does not mean you would get away from it. It's some kind of chemical imbalance in your head where you feel depressed, where you feel like you have no reason to go on.
I mean,
but it's not based in anything, which is the problem.
But I mean, depression rates in third world countries are still like way down compared to first world countries.
Right, because being poor and in a third world country doesn't cause depression. Depression's caused by something in your brain.
So why do first world people have higher rates? So what chemical imbalance does being in a first world give to you?
Well, I don't think it does. It's probably just underdocumented in those countries because nobody's running around there taking studies. Listen, I know there's traumas in people. Do you know how many people I know who are not on antidepressants or anxiety medication who are they need to be, and they know they need to be, but they won't do it. A lot of people are fearful because they're afraid they'll gain weight. A lot of people are fearful because they don't like to take medication. A lot of people think it'll affect them some way.
I think I'm with the people who just don't like to take medicine. I don't like, especially like, I feel like I really wouldn't like to take antidepressants because like you said, it's a chemical imbalance in your brain. I don't know if I want to take pills that mess with my brain.
But don't you want to fix the problem?
Not if it's going to mess with my brain. It could make it worse.
But it could make it better.
Yeah, but
doing nothing's not going to make it better.
Yeah, but doing nothing's not going to make it worse.
I don't know about that. People commit suicide.
I could live through it.
I don't know. Like, I've interviewed Dick Cavett a bunch of times about depression, and he, famous man, had depression, and he said it's the worst word because it, he said he was not depressed about anything. It's just he didn't want to get out of bed. And he explained it one time, and I thought it was fascinating. He said depression to him was if somebody told him that there was a wand on a table across the room, that he could, if he could just get up and get that wand, that he could have anything he wanted and make the bad feelings go away, he wouldn't have the energy or interest in getting up to get it. That was depression to him.
I don't know about all that. I think we could be in, like, some of the most dire situations ever, and if somebody offered you, like a fix-all, it'd be, why would you, I don't think,
because I don't think that's what depression is. I think depression is, it's like a black hole.
Black hole.
Well, I mean, why do people commit suicide? I mean, when you think about it. What has to be going through your mind in that moment?
In what moment?
The moment that you do yourself in.
I don't know.
I'm guessing things are... You're thinking things are not going to get any better.
Things could always be better, but things could always be worse.
This is why hope is the last thing to die. And I think when you lose hope, then it is over.
I mean, yeah. That's agreeable.
You can lose money. You can lose your house. You can lose your car. You can lose everything. You can lose your job. But if you lose hope that any of this will come back, then you're in
trouble. I think if you lose hope, you're going to stop trying to fix it.
Well, yeah. So that's one of the, I think, the issues with depression. You've lost hope. I don't know. I've seen it in people. I mean, I've seen people who knew, absolutely knew that they had anxiety, but would not take the medication because they gained weight when they took it. Now, how does this relate to the relationship conversation? Relationships are a little bit of a panacea in that they take you away for a second. They, you know, you're able to escape that depression for a moment. Because somebody likes you, and somebody's paying attention to you, and somebody's doing things for you. So that, you know, it helps it, but it doesn't cure it. And it will come back. If you don't do something about it. No person can cure depression. Ask Mrs. Harding.
Did she have depression?
I don't know how she couldn't. Well, she had a terrible kidney ailment, her husband clearly was cheating on her left, right, and sideways. You believe she knew about it? That can't be a happy life.
I mean, by the way, I don't know that she necessarily knew about it, but she had to have some kind of inkling, I think. She was a smart woman. There's no way she just didn't think anything was going on.
No, I think she probably knew about some of them. I don't think she knew about all of them.
You don't think she knew the range?
No, I don't know that she knew that he had a kid with one of them. I don't think that was probably well known to her.
That's fair. I don't think that would necessarily be unknown.
Now, she probably knew about the long-term ones, but I don't think she knew about the short-term ones. And if you read her diary, which I did at the First Ladies Museum in Akron, and she's very anti-man. So that's interesting.
That is interesting.
I mean, she doesn't come out and say which men she's against, but she, you know, she would have to have a radio show to do that.
Do they make, like, copies of this book or a diary?
I can't remember if they allowed me to make copies or not. I think I was able to shoot pictures of it. They found it in some, like, rummage sale or something. It was lost. I don't think she meant for people to read it. I don't think anybody means for their diary to be read.
I don't think so. If it's a private journal of any kind, I don't think you ever suspect somebody to read it.
But see, do you ever think about that? Like, what would people find at your house if you dropped dead?
My cats.
That's it. You have no personal belongings.
I mean, I got like a PlayStation 4, nothing like crazy.
Like, there's nothing that would be hard to explain.
No.
Like, I thought for a long time, years ago, my grandmother died, and I was the last one out of her house cleaning it out. And I knew they did not want her jewelry to be thrown away, so I grabbed that and took it to my house. But her kids were having a hard time, because she died suddenly. So they were, I think, which is why the stuff was left in her house. And so I had it in my house, and it was there for a long time before somebody came and got it. And I remember thinking, if I died and somebody came in here and saw that all this jewelry was in here, now what are they going to think? If you're not there to explain it.
I mean, I guess they're going to think that you know,
I like to dress up or something, you know?
Some jewels.
All right, so there are things that can happen like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what do you do? I think that's what happened with old Flo. Somebody was cleaning out her stuff, and there's her diary.
I think that's why you just shouldn't keep a diary.
Well, but some people forget. It is hard to remember things exactly right, especially as the years go on. Like, somebody will say stuff to me sometimes now, and they'll say, you know, do you remember when that happened? And I'll think, oh, I totally forgot about that. So that's easy to do.
Yeah, but, like, if you didn't want people to read about it, I don't know that you should write it down.
Well, you know, I don't know. It's getting it off your chest, I think. Anyway, Britney Spears' book is selling. Her memoir is changing people's perception of her. That maybe she's not so stupid. That, you know, she's reminding people that she was very young when a lot of these things were going on that she did that were stupid. Like 15 and 19, and she's seeming very, a lot smarter in the book now. Which I think's interesting.
I didn't know people perceived her as stupid.
Oh, yeah, she shaved her head at one point, and she did some stuff that her career took a big tumble, and, you know, I think people didn't perceive her as the smartest person. Married some people who were kind of low-rent type of people.
That's a nice way to put it.
Let's say you consider somebody to be an upstanding person. When they start dating or marry somebody who's kind of a low rent person, doesn't that change your perception of them?
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's just the way it is, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because you figure their choosing skills are flawed. This is why we think people who've been divorced several times are not exactly the best people in the world. It doesn't mean they're evil. It just means they obviously have a character flaw.
I mean, just like you look at the numbers, half of the marriages end in divorce, and then after your first marriage, the numbers just keep going down.
Yeah, so I don't know why you keep doing it. And again, I'm willing to give people one marriage and one divorce. I'll even give them two marriages. But once we're over two, there's something wrong. Something is not working there on your behalf. Because these are, now if you get to three, these are three different men at this point.
If you divorce the third one, there's something wrong.
Well, but they keep going.
But they keep going.
They keep going. They can't be stopped. Because in their mind, I've never met anybody like you. You're the one.
See, do you ever think that they realize that they say that about every person?
No.
The last one, they said the same exact thing?
No, they don't even remember that they said it. They don't. I pointed that out to somebody one time. Because, you know, I believe this is one of the stupidest things there ever has been. This person said to me, and I'd heard him say it before. Heard him say it before. They said, I met this person, and I've never met anybody like them before. And I said to them, almost simultaneously, I said, I've heard you say that before. You said that about the last person about 2 or 3 years ago. And they said, no, that's not true. Well, it was true. And I said, but do you want me to point out all the things you said about them? Because I have messages that you sent to them. They didn't like that. They felt I was being rude. Guess I shouldn't have pointed that out to them.
I mean, see, it's like, you know, once again, it's like that commercial where they throw the challenge flag, watch the replay.
I have to tell the truth.
Yep.
Oh, this is good. Pastor Craig, you haven't mentioned the top 10 list, but after the Exchange Club today, I'm sure it would be anticlimactic. The 12 o'clock show, we had probably the best top 10 list ever. It was a good one.
I think so.
But we do have one for tonight. I'm glad Pastor Craig reminded us of this, because we do have a top 10 list tonight, which we better get to because it's 40 minutes past the hour. Let's see if we can get the old top 10 list going here. I imagine we probably can. Get the drum roll. There it is. Well, no, see, we just... Every time on Friday night, this drum roll does not like to play along. Okay. There's the drum roll. Can you hear it? All right. Tonight's top 10 list from the home office in Columbus, Ohio, thanks to our good friend Bob Welsh. Top 10 things the Worcester Vampire did on Halloween. Now, if you don't know, the Worcester Vampire has become nationally famous now. She's on the cover of the Marian Star. She was in the USA Today. Busy, busy lady, but this is what she did on Halloween on Tuesday. Top 10 things the Worcester Vampire did on Halloween. Number 10, she called the Marian Star for more coverage of the Worcester Vampire Club. They need new blood.
Nice.
That's pretty good. Number 9, went on a date with her cross-dressing boyfriend, Dragula. Well, that's nice on Halloween. Number 8, called CNN to explain that vampires are not succulents. Do you know the whole thing about the succulent? Somebody said they were going to get me a succulent. They never gave me a succulent. I still don't have a succulent. It's a whole problem.
It's a whole problem.
Number 7, she tells everyone there is a vegan vampire to avoid stakes in the heart.
That's fair. I wouldn't want to be stabbed in the heart either.
She lost her job with the Worcester Orchestra because her Bach was worse than her bite. There, it's a good thinker. Number 5, she visited her doctor to stop her coughing.
Nice.
Very nice. She told her Taylor, she sold her Taylor Swift tickets because she has bad blood.
Of course.
Top 10 things the Worcester Vampire did on Halloween. Number 3, she dislikes cold Halloweens because she once bit a snowman and got frostbite.
Yeah.
The Worcester Vampire. She passed out suckers to the children. Suckers. You follow what that's all about? All right. And the number 1 thing the Worcester Vampire did on Halloween, visited the dentist to find out why she can't suck blood.
That might be a thing you need to know as a vampire.
Well, this Worcester Vampire does not suck blood. We all do know that. That's the one thing we do know about her. She does not suck blood. Good list. 2 good lists today.
I agree. Both good.
Both very timely. Daylight savings time goes into effect tomorrow night. No, Sunday night. Sunday night.
Man, it's kind of crazy. I was driving here, and it was like 7:30, and it was dark.
Well, that's what I... Yeah, and so next week, it'll be dark at 6:30.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
But it'll be daylight in the morning. It was dark this morning, driving here.
Yeah?
Now it'll be daylight in the morning.
I mean...
You know what it'll be? It'll be you in the morning. It will be what will it be? Tuesday? Yeah, no, Sunday. Come Sunday, this is kind of what you'll be like in the morning here in just a minute. This is what every morning will be like for you. But somebody was going to get me a succulent. They never did produce the succulent, and somebody else has offered to get a succulent. Although I don't have that succulent either, so it really sucks.
Yeah, it does. I would imagine.
It's become a whole thing with me at this point, getting a succulent. All right, here we go.
Every day I wake up, pour myself a cup of that rich Folgers aroma, the best part of waking up.
This is what you'll be like Sunday morning.
All I do, the mountain goat aroma, always coming through. In your cup. Now I'm right in harmony. When I do up, diddy. Whoa, one more cup, and it's a hoo-up, shibop for me. Oh, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Doesn't that just... That's what Sunday morning will be like when you wake up and see that daylight. It'll be just like that.
I hope so. I hope I can be that happy when I wake up.
Well, I mean, did that really move a lot of coffee, do you think?
I would hope so.
Do you think telling your story, by the way, back to Britney Spears, do you think telling your story can change your perception? The perception people have of you, maybe?
I think so, yeah.
Why you did things you did, when you did them, why you did them, blah, blah, blah.
If you don't give your side of the story, the only narrative is the narrative of the other person. You don't have your side of the story. In most cases.
Well, what do you do?
I guess you write a tell-all book.
That's how you sell copies. Gotta tell all. The Golden Bachelor, which is the old Bachelor, that's what they call him, the Golden Bachelor. I think he's, I don't even know how old this man is, but, you know, the question is he fell in love with two women on the show, and he's only known them a month. Now, is this too early to be falling in love with people, especially two women? He cries on the show. I haven't seen the show, but I saw the clip.
Yeah, I think so. I think that The Bachelor is kind of a goofy concept. For
what
the show
is
overall.
This whole thing about? The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, The Golden Bachelor?
So I'm not sure, 100% how it works, but, they get, so for The Bachelor, there'd be, a single dude, and then there'd be, I don't know how many women, but there'd be women, and at the end of every, episode or something like that, and he gives them a flower and then a rose, and then the one who doesn't get a rose is ousted from the show.
Yeah, but I mean, what's he doing with these women?
I have no idea.
How does he know anything? How does he know these women are honest? How does he know they're? I guess I don't get it. What's he basing this on?
The fact that it came from a TV show.
Oh well. Then it's definitely a home run, I guess. I just don't understand these shows, and I don't understand why this man's crying and falling in love with two women, and it's a month.
I don't know.
What is so sad? I don't know. I don't even know what he's crying about.
I guess he's crying because he has to pick one of the two.
Well, who cares? Pick one. Make your choice. Get it over with.
I mean, honestly, it's a TV show. At the end of the day, you could pick one and then go with the other one. It doesn't really matter.
Isn't this the problem, that you got to pick one?
I mean,
President Harding didn't pick one.
Yeah, but people didn't seem to like that.
No, people didn't like it, but he did it anyway.
I mean, fair enough.
Except people got $4,000 Christmas gifts.
You know, you got to do what you got to do.
I just don't understand if you don't know which one's the one. Oh, by the way, the person who we know who was going to get engaged, I had a conversation with him about that last week, I think. And he's still on that train.
Oh, that's no good.
He's living with her now.
Oh, good. Well, I mean, I guess that's a step.
Well, it's a step.
That's a step.
One step to the grave.
Yep. I would just, give it a solid 6 more years.
I just, poor boy. And I like him.
I like him too.
But he's making a mistake.
I tried to tell him.
I mean, I don't know. What can you do? He's in that state where he's not making any sense.
You gotta just, let him know that you don't think he's making the wrong decision, but let him know that if he makes that decision.
Well, I said, how do you know? Oh, I just know. I never felt this way before. There we go. There's no sense. You can't talk any sense to you now. Because once you start saying things that are make no sense, I can't help you. What are you supposed to say to that? You do?
Yeah, I'd be like, you have. You know how many people you've met? There's no way you haven't met somebody like her.
Yeah, what are the chances? I don't understand what these... You know what? I think it's money. I think it's really money. I think it all comes down to money and paying attention. If you pay somebody enough attention and you throw enough money in their direction, they'll like you.
I don't think he really needs the help with money. He's got two jobs.
Yeah, but I still think it all comes... Maybe he's throwing money at her.
That's probably what it is. He bought her some, buys her shoes and stuff.
He bought her shoes.
Yeah.
There you go. I wouldn't buy anybody anything because I think that's false. You're creating a false veneer.
Yep, disingenuine.
Yeah, that is. Why do you have to buy somebody things?
I don't think you do.
If you do, I think it's all false.
I think if they want you to buy them things, they don't actually like you. They like the things that you provide for them.
I will never forget, and if this person, and I, you know, this probably will go in the book, because I found this to be such a, I couldn't believe it.
In the book.
I said to the person, I said, what do you like about this person? And their two answers were, now, they can now come up with 50 other answers. Baloney. I know what their two answers were. Their two answers were, this person drives everywhere, and I haven't had to pay for a thing. That's what the answers were. When I said, what do you like about them? What?
You know, there's no flaw there.
No flaw with that plan at all. That just shows how stupid you are. I mean, honestly, that is the... When I heard that, I thought this person... And it was sad because I really thought this person had a brain in their head.
Dumbfounded.
And I couldn't even see straight. I thought, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. And it really, at that was the moment when I really started to dislike that person. Because I thought, this is too stupid. This is... I've known you for a long time. You cannot be serious. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's really? Now, again, I'm sure if that ever came up in conversation, this person would say, oh, no, I like this. Because it did sound that stupid, and that's exactly what was said.
You think they realized it sounded that dumb?
I don't think
that.
Well, they said it.
Yeah, but there are things that, like, sound good in your head, but then, like, once you say it, they don't sound good.
At that point, I was willing to be happy for that person, because I thought it was going to be something good they were going to say. Why do you like this person? Well, you know, they do this, okay, fine. No. It was, they drive everywhere, and I haven't had to pay for a thing. And that was it. And I thought, golly. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Did you let him know?
I think I did. I said, I know it didn't end pleasant. I know that conversation didn't end pleasantly. Because I said, that is... I think I said, that doesn't sound good. That worries me. That's your reasoning?
They didn't like that.
No, then it was, it's my life.
it's my life.
Well, you got that right. My life.
They're always good. It's
yeah.
Good.
is that really a comeback?
Oh.
You haven't done so well with your life, is maybe something I should have pointed out to them. How's your life been?
You know.
Maybe you need some help.
I think so.
If somebody would say that to you, if that's your question, why do you like this person? And that was the response, what would you think?
Man,
yeah,
this isn't going to go well.
No, you think this is the dumbest thing I ever heard. And I've heard some dumb things, but that was right up there.
It's kind of crazy, too, because I think that at least the majority of the time, people don't even realize that's what it is. I think they genuinely like that person.
Yeah, I was up until that point, I liked them. I thought they were a nice person. I thought they were sensible. I thought they were a good person. And at that moment, I realized they just were clueless. And this is And then I started to look at their life, which I never really had done. And I thought, you know, this is probably why your life is so screwed up.
It all made sense.
It was like the final piece of the puzzle. I get it now. I get why it's all screwy. Because this is what you value in life.
You know, I mean, that's understandable. I think you got to pick some good values.
I mean, what in the world? Are you poor? Is that it? I mean, I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't know.
Get help.
Get help.
You need help. You need to be in a support group. Something of that nature.
You know, get some friends. Some good friends.
You know something, though? Some people have a desire for everybody to like them. They cannot stand it when somebody dislikes them. Now, they can be rude to people. But if they have to go apologize later on because they don't want people to dislike them. I don't really have that. I'm okay if people dislike me as long as I'm honest with what I've said.
I agree. so long as I'm honest, I don't really care what the opinion is.
Well, if you don't like me because I was honest, this kind of comes back to the conversation we were having earlier about the congresswoman from Texas who yelled at her staff. Well, if she wanted to yell at them and she felt it was, if she felt she was in the right to yell at them, who cares if they don't like her?
I mean, fair. I mean, that's her job, I guess, if they weren't doing... I mean, if she felt they weren't doing their job efficiently enough, it's her job to make sure they do it.
See, a lot of people think I'm a mean person, but I don't really think I'm mean. I think that it's... I mean, we've spent time together now, on the microphone, off the microphone, and you've seen me at other places. Now, would you consider me a mean person?
No.
Oh, there you go.
I think a lot of people just consider you a mean person because you like to just poke fun.
Poke fun.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't get it.
That it's just me having fun. I'm not serious. You know, now, I think the problem is sometimes I will take true things and make fun of them. I think that's the difference. Because I think if you make up something about somebody, I think they're okay if you make fun of that. But if you take something that's true or that they're sensitive about and make fun of it, they don't so much like that. If it's true, it's true.
Yeah.
But I've never attacked anybody maliciously. I'll say that.
I mean, that's good. I don't think there's a positive to attacking somebody maliciously.
And I don't believe I have a temper. I don't believe I've ever yelled at anybody. I don't ever remember it happening if it did.
I think you gotta yell at somebody at least once in your life.
I will be around things that don't go right, but sometimes I'll just say, do that a little differently, or can we get this together? Usually I try to be the sensible one in the group. Try not to lose the temper.
I mean, that's a good way to go about it.
The other night when we were doing the taping, we had some things going on. I did not lose any temper during that thing.
No.
Just soldiered right on. That's what you gotta do. You know what was the funniest moment from that taping? I'll tell this story since she's not here. Last week we had a caller at the end of the show. And I thought it was Carrington's father. Remember this?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think when he called in, he said, I'm a teacher and my wife's a teacher. And I had heard her say in the past that her parents were both teachers. So when I saw her Wednesday, because she wasn't on the show last week, were you privy to this moment on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I said, now if I'm lying, you tell this story correct me if I'm telling this wrong. And I walked up to Carrington after we did the taping on Wednesday, and I said, hey, I think your dad called in last Friday. And she goes, well, yeah, he did. How did you know that? And I said, well, what I just said. You know, he said he's a teacher, his wife's a teacher, and I heard you say that your parents were both teachers. And she goes, you pay attention to things I say? She was, like, genuinely shocked by that. Do you remember that? Is this not what happened?
That's what happened.
Okay, now why... I've been around this girl how long now? 4 or 5 months?
Yeah.
2-3 times a week? Plus seeing her at Kroger? She doesn't believe I've been paying attention to anything she says?
I don't know. I think maybe she was just joking.
I don't know. She seemed pretty genuine in that.
I don't know.
When she's back next week, we're going to have to discuss this.
Going to have to ask her.
Oh, no. What's that all about?
I think even if she was serious, I don't think she'd admit to being serious.
No, she doesn't admit usually to things that like that when it's called, when you call her on it. Did she not seem serious when she... Because I can usually pick up on a joke. She didn't seem like she was joking.
No, I don't think so.
But why would she think I would not pay attention to her?
I don't know. I thought it was funny, though.
I thought it was hilarious, because I certainly didn't think that would be the reaction.
The only reason I could think of is because maybe, like... Sometimes when we're on the show, there like people will message you on Facebook, and you'll be looking over there, and you'll have to ask her to repeat herself because you were reading a message or something like that. That's about all I got.
Well, I don't know. It's tough to host a show.
Yeah,
it's a little rough. I'm trying to watch these messages over here right now. Watch the camera. Watch you. Pay attention. Do the whole thing. It's a difficult thing.
You're doing good.
Well, I hope so. That's what we're here. Should remind everybody about our election coverage next week. Run it down for them. When's it on, and what's going to happen?
So, election coverage will take place on the 7th. It'll be starting at 7:30?
7:15.
So, starting at 7:15...
You'd have been 15 minutes late.
Yeah, I would have. We would have... So, in the studio, we're going to have me... No. I will be at the Board of Elections. We will have Scott, Carrington, Sean. We will have Terry, Mary Ellen, maybe. We will have Glenn, there'll be Collins from Bill Collins, and maybe a few other people. I'll be down at the Board of Elections. Carrington will be busy keeping up with the statewide elections. We will have Pastor Craig down at the Republican headquarters. Linda Sims will be down at the Democratic headquarters. And I think that about does it.
And surprises galore on that night. This is going to be fascinating, you know, with Carrington keeping up on the two, issue one and issue two in the state, and you keeping up on all the locals, and we're going to have a mayoral candidate in the studio and one waiting to call in, and you've got dignitary. It's going to be a fascinating. Pastor Craig down having the buffet at Republican headquarters. Linda, I don't think they have a buffet at Democratic headquarters. It's a whole different thing down there, a whole different vibe.
You know, I think this year when I get down there, while we just sit around and wait like last year, I'm probably going to ask him how the whole process works so I have an understanding of what's going on.
Pastor Craig says, Matt, 15 minutes late? Who's surprised? Now, remember, we all meet here at the studio at 6:30, so we all know what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's what happens. So everybody involved, we'll all meet at the studio at 6:30. We'll get our game faces on and bring your pillow because I believe it's going to be a late, late night. I think we'll know about issue one and two fairly early in the evening, but when the polls close at 7:30. But I think these local issues with possibly 20,000 people in Marion County turning out to vote, I don't know how long it's going to take them to count those votes before we find out who the next mayor is, but I think it's going to be some time.
Well... I think last time there was a solid of like 5 or 6 people in the office.
Well, what did we go to last time?
Like 9:30 or something like that.
But it was later than that. I think it was close to 10. I think we were on for about 3 hours. So 3 hours for that, and that was about 5,000 people turning out, wasn't it? Not even that much. No, it was maybe 2,000. It was a primary.
Yeah.
This is a real election. Oh, man. So come back with us. We'll be back. We're done. Can you believe this show? This blew by. Just you and I, and this night blew on by.
We did good. It was good.
That's just how quick 2 hours can go. Well, I hope everybody has a great weekend. I'll see Pastor Craig and maybe Matt, Mary Ellen, Glenn Coble, and President Harding tomorrow at the dinner with the presidents. And I'll report back on that on Monday morning. And then Tuesday, we're right back here for election coverage. Starting at 7:15, you're not going to want to miss that. And I have a special guest Tuesday morning who I'm not going to announce yet, but it's big in the political world. So election morning on my program, you'll want to hear that because that's going to be a very big deal.
Exciting.
And then we move on to Wednesday. And then back here, Wednesday's taping day. And then Friday, we're back here for another show. It never ends. It just keeps on going and going and going and going. Do you have a new catchphrase? We're in the new studio. We're not telling people where that is yet. Hopefully we have phone reception next week. But do you have a new...
New outro thing?
Yeah, because you don't have... We're not where Washington meets the Delaware anymore.
So I was coming up with one, and I think I'm probably just going to go with, like, keep it simple, Marion. I'm out of here.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Well, okay. Keep it simple, Marion.
You're not going to sign off for everybody in the studio tonight?
Okay.
For the whole WGH crew?
For Matthew Morgan and Scott Spears and everybody else here at WWGH in the newsroom, keep it simple, Marion. I'm out of here.
We're heading for the dugout. Have a great night.
Drugs, bullying, violence, anything. You need to tell an adult. Mom or me, a teacher, coach, school counselor, someone you know and trust.
Dad, no kid is gonna tell an adult about that kind of stuff.
I get it, but if we don't know, we can't help. Speaking up about a problem, that's what helping a friend is all about.